to order. Call the roll, please.
Fish, Saltzman.
Here.
Novick.
Here.
Fritz.
Here.
Hales.
Here. Commissioner Fish is going to be a little late, but we'll go ahead and respect for your time, get started. Let's take up the first item. In fact, should we take them together, perhaps? Yeah. 604 and 605, please, Carla.
604, transmit East Portland Action Plan and Annual Report. And 605, authorize $100,000 total in grant agreements for the Office of Neighborhood Involvement East Portland Action Plan 2013 grant agreements, $52,600 in civic engagement grant programs, and $47,400 for the general grants program.
Well, welcome, everyone. This is a real success story of citizen engagement and city working in partnership with people that care about a community to make a big difference. So we appreciate all that you're doing. We're looking forward to hearing the report today. And Laura, we'll turn it over to you to get us started. All right. Come on up.
Hello, Commissioners, Mayor Hales. My name is Mike Vanderveen, and I serve as a co-chair of the East Portland Action Plan. You will hear from my fellow co-chair, Arlene Kimura, at the close of our report. All of us setting aside time and taking this opportunity to be here together is an example of the healthy partnership that we started in 2007. I have participated in the EPAP since the beginning, and I appreciate each of you and your dedication and service to the City of Portland. I thank the city for asking me to serve, and I'm grateful to live in a city that empowers willing residents to be real partners in city's work. All of us with EPAP take our role in this healthy partnership very seriously. As you can see from the slide, the charge of EPAP is to provide leadership and guidance to public agencies and other entities on how to strategically address community-identified issues and allocate resources to improve livability in East Portland and prevent displacement. Joyce and Brian, that are seated here with me, and 19 more EPAP participants are all here today to share our annual report. Laura Wintergreen, our advocate, is here too, advancing the PowerPoint slides and being the awesome support staff she is. Laura is the first city staff person some EPAP participants work closely with. Her integrity and amazing work ethic are a great introduction to many of the wonderful city staff that you guys have hired and we get to work with. I'm really excited about our partnership. A partnership that the city started and the partnership that we have all stepped up to participate in. You can see on the committee and representative slide that there are many engaged participants. We have 60 participants at general monthly meetings and where we agree on concrete steps to take to complete action items in the plan. We have 14 committees and 25 issue representatives that work on action items between these meetings and report at the meetings. And you guys have all been there, I believe. Making space for the community to work with the city is not an easy task. I serve as an issue representative on the Public Involvement Advisory Council. I know many of the challenges city public involvement staff face. The core service of public involvement woven through all the bureaus and offices that the city provides started the EPAP effort and helps keep our partnership going and keep it strong. Why East Portland, though? Why are we talking about East Portland? Well, geographically, East Portland comprises 20% of Portland. This area of the city has 25% of the city's population, 40% of the students, and Portland's highest percentage of immigrant, refugee, and New Portlanders. East Portland is an area that presents a great opportunity to institutionalize the city's commitment to equity. The city's budget mapping data correlate to the results of a recent auditor's community survey. Low levels of investment in public services lead to low marks in neighborhood livability, transportation, parks, housing, planning, and subsequently lead to additional fire and police expenditures due to more, and that creates more calls for service. City budget maps indicate that East Portland revenue per user is only 80% of the city average. East Portland's population is projected by city staff to grow by 41,000 households and 90,000 persons over the next 25 years, outpacing all other districts. It is critical that funding decisions on infrastructure and bureau spending be indexed to this growth as well as to changing demographics. Targeting resources toward East Portland will generate positive return on investment for the city as a whole. In meetings with each of you personally, we have proposed that the city adopt a goal that East Portland attain parity in overall livability with the rest of the city within 10 years. We look forward to working with you as a partner, as a healthy partner, to make that happen. Thank you so much for your time today, and I'm going to yield to Joyce Lay with our Arts and Culture Subcommittee.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Morning, morning. And Joyce.
Good afternoon again, Mayor Mails and Commissioners. The East Portland Arts and Culture Collective Subcommittee of EPAP was formed to engage East Portland communities by using art and also to advocate for the utilization of East Portland artists whenever possible. Three goals were established by the subcommittee. First, to recognize and support the unique blend of the distinct cultures in East Portland. Secondly, to grow the infrastructure needed to support the arts. And third, to expand visibility for local arts and culture in East Portland. We're currently creating a catalog of East Portland artists, which will include painters, musicians, crafters, poets, chefs, and the list is going to go on. If you're an artist, they're going to be included. And we plan to use this as a tool by which we can advocate for the utilization of East Portland artists for projects throughout the city. We're also working with several ethnic groups to organize and realize an international arts festival for summer of 2014. We are currently attempting to strengthen the community identity within East Portland and the pride in our neighborhoods by identifying the property owners of vacant, primarily business properties, and by doing so, then asking them if they would be willing to allow local artists to create window art that would reflect the area. And we believe that this will serve a couple of functions. First of all, it will reduce vandalism. And then secondly, just by the visibility of artists being around and something in that window, will give the image that there is occupation or that the buildings are occupied. And then also, it will hopefully make them more attractive to potential buyers and renters. In conclusion, we will continue to work with RAC, with Travel Oregon, and Portland Tourism to advocate the promotion of East Portland festivals, events, and artistic showings. Our goal is to help EPAP meet several community building action items, such as the annual event to celebrate ethnic cultures in East Portland, developing source of community pride and identity, and create the positive media stories for and about Portland, East Portland. Thank you very much again for your time, and thank you for your continued support of East Portland and East Portland Action Plan.
Thanks, Joyce. Welcome.
Thank you, Joyce.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. This is Brian Lockwood, the bike committee.
And I am Brian Lockwood half the time. good afternoon, council members. I am co-chair with Jim Chassie on East Portland's Bicycle Committee. As in years past, we have made significant progress in providing a basic structure for mobility in East Portland. We've worked on our Regional Economic Opportunities Flex funding application recently for our 100s and 150s route, which is a little bit more rural. We had a festive I-205 Breakfast on the Bridge event with PBOT and ODOT. Several neighborhood rides were planned and opened for community members to experience firsthand our real-life conditions and plan for new routes to safely navigate our streets and coalesce our community bikeways. There's been a marked effort to further representation on the Pedestrian Advisory Committee and Bicycle Advisory Committee. Congratulations to Arlene Kamara, who will be speaking later, for her appointment last Friday to the PAC. I hope to be a valuable asset when the BAC opens up for applications this fall. Of course, we worked on Outer Powell and have great appreciation that our partners at PBOT have the same vision for developing this roadway as a main street and all that entails. It is wonderful that our state is initiating some safety improvements, and we're prepared to actively work with the city and state to see the funding needed to address this particular high crash corridor in our local neighborhood. Crossing Powell three times last Friday by foot with my daughter was a harrowing experience for us, where our recent bicycle wreck when a sidewalk ended abruptly was dramatic for my daughter. Powell's strength and weaknesses continually amaze me. As we take pride in our communities, may another similar rhinoceros crossing not come our way. Thank you for your attention. Please give me allowance to introduce Cassie Cohen of Brownfields, Natalia Sobolevskaya of Civic Engagement, and Nick Sovey of Economic Development.
Great. Thank you all. Appreciate it. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. So again, I'm Cassie Cohen. I'm the director of Groundwork Portland, and we help coordinate the Brownfield Subcommittee of EPAP, which the purpose of which is to provide guidance and decision making for the East Portland Brownfields project, and it invites diverse East Portlanders to lead the redevelopment of underutilized, potentially contaminated properties into community assets eventually. So we kicked this off with students, high school students, actually, from David Douglas, and more recently from Rosie Hinton, which is an alternative high school within the David Douglas School District. So students took inventory. They walked around maybe a 10-block radius of the school, took inventory of sites that might be brownfields, and they recently completed an art installation with Youth Visions for East Portland to be installed at one of these sites soon. Last August, we had a visioning workshop, which Commissioner Novick was able to attend for a moment, which was nice to see him at, and got people's visions for what they would like to see and what some of the needs are out there. And from this workshop and the subcommittee discussions over many months, we have come up with some preliminary program ideas for at least four sites, with also support and in-kind leveraged support from Sector Environmental Design and National Park Service Rivers and Trails that are supporting us in the planning and the design aspects and programming, which has been great. We've been in dialogue with city bureaus, the Water Bureau, Bureau of Environmental Services, to determine how to move forward on some potential parks or gathering spaces, one of which is off of 123rd and Powell. It's a little bit of a funky space, but we're seeing if we can make something happen there. Love to be in communication with all of you about that. Other ideas include sites for multi-uses, such as a teen and youth center, combined with small businesses and space, open green space for a playground and sports field, a native garden and microenterprise for the native community, and others, which you'll be hearing from others about some of the other ideas. Thank you so much for the city's support and also providing interpretive services. We've had two siblings, recent newcomers from Iraq, that have been able to participate regularly in our subcommittee. At the last meeting, we had Arabic, Spanish, and English being spoken simultaneously. So that's been remarkable to have that access. Thank you so much.
Can I just make one observation?
Sure. Yeah.
Now that the Bureau of Environmental Services and Water are located under one commissioner, again, it used to be under Dan years ago. I was struck when you talked about the brownfields remediation and then parks. And I don't want to put a downer on the conversation, sure, but there's two storm clouds on the horizon, and we'll need your help on this.
Okay.
The first is the city has been sued by some water users, and part of the lawsuit challenges each and every part of the Greater Green infrastructure and the environmental component of BES spending. So you may have an opinion on that as to whether that's an appropriate expenditure under our charter, but that may be a constraint in the short term. It's Superfund, Greater Green, just about every green investment that BES makes has been challenged. So that's a question. There's a legal issue and there's a policy question. The second is the mayor and I learned in the last couple of weeks, because we read the local newspaper, that there is an effort afoot to take the water and sewer functions of the city away from the city and put them in some other entity.
Hmm.
Now, that ultimately will probably be, if it ever gets legs, it'll be decided by the voters. But one of the questions that it will raise is, with respect to the environmental stewardship and values that are embedded in our policies, who will ultimately make the decision about the nexus between good policy and spending and ratepayer dollars? And frankly, we're going into uncharted waters here where we're going to have a community discussion about both. But you said in passing, and it seems so perfectly understandably normal, about greening up some brownfields and making these investments. Mm-hmm. And I just want to make it very clear that what you and I may think is reasonable and necessary under the charter and part of our environmental vibe is not only subject of a lawsuit currently, but maybe the subject of a charter fight. So I would stay tuned as we learn more about that, but you may in particular have a strong view on that subject.
Yeah, no, thank you for alerting us. Yeah, hopefully we can talk more about that. And let me introduce Natalia Solovyovsky, which I think I got your name wrong, but.
Good afternoon, dear commissioners and Portland Mayor. I'm Natalia Sabalevskaya, co-chair of Civic Engagement Subcommittee. The mission of the East Portland Action Plan Civic Engagement Subcommittee is to promote cultural diversity as an important community asset in East Portland. The purpose of our subcommittee is to organize cultural and language-specific civic engagement workshop, share curriculum, advocate for ongoing funding, and advise on East Portland culture and language-specific issues and projects. During 2012-2013 fiscal year, we successfully advocated with Multnomah County for printing and coordinated with the school districts for distribution of student health clinic brochures in 7 different languages to all schools of East Portland for students, grades K-12. Sharing and building skills for educational workshops such as crime prevention begins at home for Russian-speaking and Latino communities. Came up with new minimum requirements for management screening practices for enhanced safety properties program. We actively participated in funding 10 locations for mobile playground program in East Portland. Contributed in developing hiring packages and guidance for Portland Parks and Recreations for summer hiring of youth from diverse community of East Portland who speak different languages. For this summer, there were hired 13 young people referred by EPOP who will be the good asset in future. Improved criteria for our civic engagement grants program, which support public involvement of underserved communities in culturally specific and language appropriate ways. In conclusion, I want to thank you for the opportunity you supporting us to work with cities bureaus such as Portland Park and Recreations, ONI, to be involved, to participate and to build partnerships, advocacy and improvements in the equity of the life that enhances equity for immigrant communities here in East Portland, in our home. And thank you for your attention. And next, with economic development, will be next.
Good afternoon. I'm Nick Sovey. I'm active on the Economic Development Subcommittee and work for Rose Community Development. And I'm here to talk about EastPAP's work to improve the economy of East Portland. In the past few years, East Portland neighborhoods have had strong council support, and we look forward to working with you on these issues in the future. My primary message is that East Portland's economy is interrelated with many of the services that the city provides. Strong employment centers and neighborhood business districts need complete transportation networks, parks, public facilities, and quality housing for their workers. This right here is probably the subcommittee's most important accomplishment this last year, the East Portland Economic Development Assessment. And in this, we learned there's some real strengths in East Portland. From 2005 to 2009, employment in East Portland grew by more than 7,000 jobs, and this was during the biggest recession in the last 75 years. During that period, we saw job growth of more than 50% in several sectors, including arts, entertainment, and recreation, information, professional, scientific, and technical services, and educational services. We also learned that one out of every five jobs in East Portland is related to healthcare, a rapidly growing sector. Unfortunately, we also learned that 9 out of 10 East Portland workers commute out of the area for their jobs. So it's really important that we train our workers better so they can compete for family wage jobs at the same time as we need to grow the number of jobs here. One of the priorities we set in the economic development assessment was to use community benefits agreements so that East Portland residents, people of color, and our neighborhood businesses are employed in public works projects. The city is doing this right now in the Powell Butte Water Project, and we'd like to see more community benefits agreements so more of our people can get trained for good jobs. Last but not least, four of our business districts are Neighborhood Prosperity Initiative areas, Historic Park Rose, Rosewood, the J District, and Midway, 122nd. Those districts, as well as the Gateway and Lentztown Center Urban Renewal Districts, are working with PDC on revitalizing those areas. We'd like the city to continue to invest in those special project areas. Jane Jacobs is one of my favorite writers. Her Death and Life of Great American Cities is one of the best analysis of how urban economies work. She wrote, if the places to work underlying must be a continuity of people who have forged neighborhood networks. These networks are a city's irreplaceable social capital. Thank you for your investment in EPAP, which is our neighborhood's irreplaceable social capital. And next up, we have Karen Gray, Sam Breyer, and Jean DeMaster.
Thank you very much.
While they're coming up, I just want to call out something that Natalia said in terms of the grants, that it's the first, to my knowledge, that are not required to be in English. And I think that's a tremendous step forward, that it's the onus is on the city staff to translate rather than on the applicants, and it's greatly broadened. Our second item today is about the grants, and I think it shows in the variety of folks who've been able to apply, and that was a groundbreaking thing that you chose to do, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mayor Hales and City Commissioners. My name is Karen Fisher Gray, and I'm the superintendent of the Park Rose School District and a Planning and Sustainability Commissioner. Today, it is my privilege to report to you on behalf of the East Portland Action Plan with the specific topic of the Gateway Economic Development Education Center. I have been an EPAT member from its beginning, proudly. I would like to share with you a timeline of events and activities of the East Portland Action Plan with regards to the Gateway Education Center since the last time we presented to the city about a year and a half ago. We met with Mayor Adams to develop a request for interest. That was an idea that he had in order to determine what the real interest was in the project. When the proposals came in for the RFI, we sat with the mayor's staff and with the mayor and our team and reviewed the different applications of people who were interested in the project. And there were some interesting and excellent groups of people. In December of 2012, the mayor brought a memorandum of understanding to the city council to get some kind of support, at least tacit support, for the Gateway Education Economic Development Center. But we believe that that was pretty much put on hold as the transition happened between mayors. And so that's my understanding of what happened with that memorandum. Soon after, our new mayor was put into office, we met with his staff regarding the future hopes of the Gateway Education Center. And what I would deem as sadly, it appears that the PDC support for the project was pulled. And it also seems that the city has kind of pulled its interest, even though it is in the Portland plan in more than one place as an economic development strategy and as a strategy for neighborhood development. East Portland Action Plan Gateway Education Center has long been discussed, and in my opinion and in the opinion of our team, eventually it really needs to become real. This week we had a meeting with Mike Mills from the Oregon Solutions, and there will be a new municipal partnership project through EPAP for an assessment with Oregon Solutions of potential partners for this project, and they do a more thorough investigation of real potential partnerships for this project with dollars and cents, and to determine if there are next steps for the GEC. We plan also to work with Portland State University to find someone to develop a rock-solid business plan for this project, something that we have really been missing and something we need to be able to shop this around with potential partners who are serious and have serious dollars for this. And we hope that Oregon Solutions will help us. Finally, what we need is the support and interest once again from the city of Portland for this project. It is in the Portland plan as a strategy for economic development and to develop healthy, connected neighborhoods. Gateway Education Center would be in the Gateway Metro Regional Center as a location, and it is also an eco-district. It will serve the needs of East Portlanders, keeping people that live in East Portland working in East Portland, thereby developing this crucial part of our city. Thank you very much.
Karen, just a quick comment.
Yes.
I'm still very interested in working on the project, but founding it on a notion that city office space is going to be a component of it was not a good idea at a time when we're shrinking our workforce. So
we are clear.
Let's look for scenarios that don't involve building another city office building or assuming that this will be one, and I think there are probably lots of ways to make it succeed.
Well, thank you for saying that, because that renews my hope and determination to be a partner with the city. This is a very difficult piece to go forward with without city support, at least some kind of city support, and also with the county. We get the idea that offices aren't going to go there, but there's lots of other things. For example, and I won't go on and on because there's no time, but we're going to be contacting health occupations and hospitals such as Adventist Kaiser, and also OHSU back into the project, and also school districts who were original stakeholder partners in this.
Yeah, all that makes sense to me, too.
And colleges. Yeah. So it's my privilege to introduce to you Sam Breyer, superintendent at Centennial.
Good afternoon, and I have the pleasure of speaking about the Education Subcommittee, which actually just began in October of 2012. It's a representative group. Participants in the committee include superintendents of three school districts, former and retired educators, school board members, representatives from El Programa Hispano, ERCO, Metropolitan Family Services, Multnomah County Library, the Urban League, the Children's Institute, and, of course, some active community members. Our first accomplishment over the past 8 months was to establish a goal and purpose statement, which you know can be challenging with a large group. The stated goal of the subcommittee is to support the academic success of all students in East Portland by advocating for equitable distribution of resources and by building communities that help all families thrive. The purpose within that goal is to advocate for effective strategies and to prioritize action items in the EPAP that relate to education. Strategies and actions are built around strengthening and increasing partnerships. We all recognize that K-12 systems, we're doing a lot of work within our systems to improve, but strong school systems also require strong community links. And of course, a strong community requires strong schools, so there's a real synergistic relationship there. Strategies, the work that we hope to accomplish is to increase parental involvement in schools and their access, increase the availability of and access to early childhood education programs, and the availability of child and youth-focused programs as well. While doing that, we also advocate for a culturally competent service that fully support and address the needs of the diverse population that we serve in East Portland. We've met twice in the spirit of strengthening those existing partnerships. We've met twice with the Multnomah County Library to understand the services they offer and to figure out how the library and the schools specifically can partner together to bring more library service out to East Portland. We've worked with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability to review how our priorities match up with the Portland Plan and the Draft Comprehensive Plan and gave feedback on how those work together. And we've met with staff recently, just last week, from the Portland Children's Levy to discuss the allocation of future levy funds and how that works in East County and for our schools specifically. Our next step is to meet with state representatives as well to share the East Portland education perspective to influence education priorities and legislation in Salem as well. So our work is well underway, and I'm excited about it. It's my pleasure now to introduce Jean DeMaster.
Hi, I'm Jean DeMaster. I'm the co-chair of the Housing Subcommittee, also work at Human Solutions, which is one of the agencies in East Portland. One of the goals of the East Portland Action Plan is to increase the prosperity of East Portland. And our goal in doing that is to both increase the incomes of low-income people who are there and bring more middle-income and upper-income people to East Portland to live and to work. So the Housing Subcommittee has as its goal to ensure that there's housing there for middle-income and upper-income people when they come to live in East Portland, and at the same time ensure that there's safe and decent housing for low-income people to preserve the low-income housing and to ensure that we don't have gentrification as more upper-income people come to East Portland the way we've seen in other neighborhoods. So our goal is both to make sure there's plenty of mixed-income housing and avoid gentrification. In doing that this past year, one of the things we looked at first was kind of a myth that said East Portland had more affordable housing based on tax-abated properties than any other area of the city. As housing providers, we heard that all the time, more tax abatement in East Portland. So we took it upon ourselves to look at all of the tax records and for the whole city of Portland and look at how much tax-abated property there was for affordable housing. And what we found is East Portland does not have a significantly larger amount of tax-abated property for low-income housing than any other area of the city. In fact, we're second. We're not first. We're second. But all areas of the city have a pretty equal amount. So we wanted to make sure that we told everybody that that myth is just plain not true and people should stop saying that. The second thing we did is look at legislative priorities, in particular support for the inclusionary zoning, as it would help get low-income people in other middle-income neighborhoods throughout the city. We also looked at supporting the legislation that would prevent discrimination based on Section 8 housing. Our third kind of area of interest was to look at, for this coming year, increasing the amount of minority and low-income home ownership. And at the same time, we'd like to look at a pilot project that would involve identifying some of the properties, some of the rental properties in East Portland that are the most troublesome to the tenants who live in them, find a way to renovate them so that it's safer housing for the tenants who live there, and it makes the housing in those neighborhoods more attractive to the other people who live in the neighborhood and the community. So those are our goals for the coming year. Okay. I'd like to introduce
move
the...
On. Could you just tell me which area of the city has the highest amount of tax-abated property?
North Portland.
Thank you.
I'd be happy to send you the report.
Yeah, I'd love to see that. Thank you.
I'll send everyone the report.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I'm curious that the myth that has clouded the conversation for a long time. Do you think that the one of the challenges is the confusion that people make, understandably, between what they think is a tax-abated property but actually is just a poorly maintained market-rate housing?
Yes, that's what we think.
There is a fair amount of substandard housing in East Portland. The irony is people are not calling to complain about stuff that Nick Sovey or you are building. They're complaining about the market rates, the private stock.
Yeah, sometimes when people say affordable housing, they mean poor quality housing. When we say affordable housing, we mean high quality housing for low income people. And we think that those two definitions are really are contradictory for many, many people. So we want to clear up the definitional problem of what is affordable housing. It's good housing for low income people and stop getting it mixed up with bad housing.
Well, I'm glad you've done that because as you and I have been in a lot of forums and meetings where that mythology obstructs a useful discussion about where we make investments. The other thing I should tell you is I've been in the process of writing thank you notes to legislators for re-upping the tax abatement program for first-time homeowners. And at the suggestion of East County legislators, it was amended so that it is no longer targeted just to distressed areas. Now, that doesn't preclude investments in East Portland, right, but it doesn't mandate just in areas that are distressed. And I guess the theory from our friends in East Portland was, if we're going to truly create opportunity, let's allow that program to be used in Hillsdale as well as maybe in Lentz, and so that we're creating a range of opportunity. But it has passed. It just no longer is restricted to distressed areas.
Yeah, I think so. It's the same thing with inclusionary zoning. We want an inclusionary zoning throughout the whole city, not just in East Portland, so that the low-income population is not concentrated in any one neighborhood, but is throughout the city.
One final piece of good news that I want to highlight in the budget that we'll be adopting tomorrow, the mayor, at my request, has funded an additional inspector for the enhanced program.
We were very pleased to see that.
So what your advocacy has been very helpful in this presentation. It shows that we are all working together towards the same goals.
It really means that low-income people have a voice to say something's wrong when the housing is so substandard.
Thank you.
I'd like to now introduce the next group, which is Anna Vokala from the Multicultural Center Committee, Tom Lewis from the Operations Committee, and Bob Ernst from the Structures Committee.
Good afternoon, Anna.
Good afternoon, dear commissioners and Portland Mayor Hales. Anna Volkova, EPOP member and East Portland Multicultural Center Subcommittee co-chair. I'm here to tell you about East Portland Multicultural Center Subcommittee today. East Portland Action Plan formed this subcommittee because there is a big interest among diverse community members in East Portland. And a little bit of history. Many interested people met on November 11, 2012, to consider using Marshall High School as a temporary facility for multicultural center. There is a little bit information on eastpdxnews.com. There is an article about this event. The idea didn't work out, but many of us are still interested and willing to work to make an East Portland Multicultural Center become a reality. Anita Yap and Gauri Shankar, who is an architect and singer from Nepal, developed a survey as to what people want, and Gauri developed the recommendation based upon that survey. Portland State University architectural design students interviewed people and did research of available East Portland properties and international designs for multicultural centers. With this information, they put together design recommendations and did an amazing presentation at Portland State University last month. They will do a final project presentation and exhibition in East Portland in December, and you're welcome to attend. Also, other subcommittees members express interest in East Portland Multicultural Center. This is the next great thing for East Portland. This will not come easy, but we have seen community members accomplish great things in East Portland. Thank you for your attention, and Tom Lewis will speak next.
Thanks.
Good morning or afternoon, Mayor and City Council members. I am speaking for the Operations Committee. We are comprised of representatives from each of the East Portland Action Plan committees and two at-large members, of which I am one. We meet four times a year, and we're charged with develop and execution of the East Portland Action Plan strategies and approved through consensus by the general body. We also meet with elected officials to advocate for those established strategic priorities, and then functions as an East Portland Action Plan decision-making body in time-sensitive situations. And that is the picture of our housekeeping piece, so I can't claim much excitement as these other folks have. And with that, I'll introduce Bob Ernest with Structures.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales and Commissioners. Thank you for inviting us to give our annual presentation today. My name is Bob Ernest. I live in East Portland, and I volunteer at senior centers and work primarily with seniors. I've been a part of the East Portland Action Plan since our formation in 2007 in December, and it actually snowed that day, so that was a memorable event. The Structures Committee has put together a document that we use as a framework of how we conduct business. So if Tom thought his was exciting, this is really exciting. One of the unique features of the Structures Committee is we developed early on a belief that we can use a consensus model for decision making, and we've been able to maintain that throughout, and it works well. It's a little more challenging than a up and down yes, no vote situation, but it invites conversation and invites participation at a different level. We conduct a monthly orientation immediately following each of our East Portland Action Plan meetings, and we extend an invitation to new members and new attendees to consider joining the East Portland Action Plan, and we give them an overview of how all the pieces fit together and what their participation level may be and how they want to become involved. We invite participation from the community in East Portland to share their ideas and participate in all of our activities. And again, thank you very much for inviting us today.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you.
And with that, I would like to introduce Chris Scarzello, Hector Osino Mondragon, and David Hampston.
Good afternoon, council members. I'm Chris Scarzello from the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. I'm on the district liaison team, and I represent East Portland. I'm also a member of the Technical Advisory Committee, who meets four times a year. As you can see from the slide, the Technical Advisory Committee is comprised of city bureaus, as well as other agencies who work in East Portland. The list was derived from the organizations who participated in the original crafting of the East Portland Action Plan, with the understanding that the organizations were cognizant of their commitment to the assigned action items. Our main role is to ensure that our respective bureaus and agencies address the assigned action items. In the last year, we have moved sometimes beyond this role to do some real collaboration and leveraging of project dollars. For example, the Portland Police Bureau made their Gateway Community Policing Center available to the East Portland Action Plan for meetings. The Portland Water Bureau coordinated with an EPAP grant awardee to lend their Sprinter van to transport folks to a Butanese community event. Portland Parks and Rec added a sidewalk to their Gilbert Heights School Park project, allowing students the option to walk to school in addition to being bused. And the EPAP, you heard earlier, the EPAP Civic Engagement partnered with Multnomah County Health to print student health clinic brochures in 7 languages. Sometimes the information shared at the Technical Advisory Committee leads to additional advocacy. For example, at one of our TAC meetings, Multnomah County shared information that there would be budget cuts to the SUN program, which allowed the EPAP to advocate to restore that funding. The Technical Advisory Committee role is assisted in large part by the advocacy of the EPAP and their understanding of city and county budgeting processes. They recognize that action items are implemented as part of bureau projects, and those projects take money. As you have heard today, progress is being made, but we, the city, needs to pick up that pace. Thank you for your time and attention today, and I would like to introduce Hector Osuna.
My name is Hector Jr. Osuna. I am the community organizer for Opal Environmental Justice Oregon and the interim facilitator for the EPAP Transit Rider Subcommittee. EPAP Transit Rider Subcommittee advocates to improve access, affordability, safety, and infrastructure for transit riders with an emphasis on East Portland and envisions having a public transportation system that cares, values the lives, struggles, and needs of transit-dependent riders. Mayor and City Commissioners, thank you for providing us this opportunity to communicate our insight, concerns, solutions, organizing, and advocacy work that we have been undertaking. With the cooperation from a small grant from the East Portland Action Plan, the help of the Transit Rider Subcommittee and Opal Environmental Justice Oregon, the East Portland Bus Stop Project began with a focus on evaluating bus stops east of 82nd and major streets. Bus riders and Portland State University students helped Opal to develop two tools. Are you a bus rider? Tell us about your bus stop survey and the East Portland Bus Stop Assessment, in which were utilized to engage in conversations, educate people about the infrastructure disparities, how we were going to evaluate the stops, with the end goal of having the community decide on prioritizing bus stops to improve in East Portland. Throughout this project, we had an active process of engagement, identification, ground truthing, data collection, and prioritization. With the help from East Portland community members, we completed our initial screening of over 150 bus stops in East Portland and collected over 220 bus stop surveys in 2012 and honed in on the hot bus stops based off the screening. We chose the stops with higher daily boarding figures from spring and fall 2012 TriMet passenger data census that were in close proximity to the community assets such as housing, grocery stores, community centers, medical facilities, libraries, and schools, but with fewer existing amenities and infrastructure. And then we categorized areas in clusters along several major corridors, like Foster, Powell, Stark, and Halsey. And on Tuesday, May 14th, 2013, at the Rosewood Initiative Building, we had our community prioritization meeting in which 50 people participated, and by a voting process, the community prioritized the three following bus stops: Southeast Powell and 122nd, Southeast Powell and 127th, and Southeast Foster and 82nd. East Portlanders vocalized that having access to safe, affordable, reliable, and frequent service is essential to find and keep employment, housing, education, medical care, and recreation. Our community has spoken, and all of you have taken a charge towards improving the safety and essential amenities for East Portlanders. Hence, your commitment to keep funding East Portland community priorities will aid riders that depend on the bus service because we will have shelters to protect riders from rain and other harsh weather conditions, have benches to provide riders a comfortable option while waiting, especially for seniors, children, and folks with mobility needs, have adequate lighting to provide security so that riders feel safe waiting for the bus and to ensure visibility so that riders won't get passed by, have sidewalks to provide protection for motor vehicle traffic and to enhance safe access to and from bus stops. Furthermore, supporting such actions supports the following action items from the 2009 East Portland Action Plan: develop prioritized lists for improvements to existing transit stops, and expand City Portland and TriMet partnership linking sidewalk improvements with transit stop improvements. So your support and City of Portland goals of improving the safety, health, and prosperous inclusive approach that benefits people most impacted, and it aligns with the RFFA grant for the Southeast Foster improvements and future pending 2016-2017 pending grant funding that will improve Southeast Powell Boulevard. Hence, I and East Portland bus riders want to thank you for your time and commitment to developing a just and equitable city. And now we'd like to present to you David Hampson.
Before you pass it off, have you written a letter that perhaps, or could you draft a letter that the council could sign to TriMet supporting your prioritization?
Yes, that will be, I think, arriving to you very shortly.
Excellent. Good. Thank you. And then to Commissioner Novick, when we did the streetlight changes last year, putting LED streetlights in, I had mentioned that I would like to prioritize starting with the areas that most need the better lighting. So I hope that that's happening and that you'll be getting the brighter lights soonest.
Great. Thanks.
Commissioners and Mayor, I'm David Hampson, East Portland representative to the PBOT's Transportation Budget Advisory Committee. The East Portland Action Plan currently has two active transportation committees, EPAP Bike and the Transit Rider Subcommittee, both of whom you've already heard from. Our efforts are also coordinated with our 13 neighborhoods through the longstanding East Portland's Land Use and Transportation Committee, also through the EPNO District Coalition and the and our efforts with four other district coalitions, especially with Sweeney. This spring, for the first time ever, EPAP signed a joint letter with both the LUTC and the EPNO Chairs Group, as well as with other district coalitions throughout Portland, advocating that the City Council, you, approve the creation of a year-round PBOT Bureau Advisory Committee to replace the current seasonal Budget Advisory Committee. And I would strongly urge you, with the new director, to move forward with that. Since City Council adopted the East Portland in Motion implementation strategy on April 18th, 2012, those of us who advocate for transportation improvements in East Portland have been working with our community partners to get projects implemented, to get other projects and other projects funded for future years. To be quite frank with you, we're joyful in getting the countless miles and infill sidewalks along busy streets in East Portland, thanks to PBOT and to City Council. Already, we've seen a huge upsurge in residents walking more along these streets. Recently, we started to drop additional priorities for future sidewalk fundings should new stimulus money suddenly be available. You never know. We've also been talking with PBOT about making walking on existing busy streets safer, as it will be many years before many of them get sidewalks. Working with our partners at PBOT and TriMet, by 2018, we'll have over $9 million in additional improvements using ODOT and Metro money in the Regional Economic Opportunity Fund. The East Portland's Access to Education and Employment projects includes several miles of new community greenways, several new sidewalks along Outer Powell Boulevard, and various transit stop improvements throughout East Portland. And now Arlene Kimura will talk about our municipal partnership projects, and Larry Coatson will talk about our grants.
Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales, commissioners, again. Thank you very much. We have something called the Municipal Partnership Project. And for East Portland Action Plan members, that allows the community members to affect and influence municipal agencies in not only in project execution, but policy decisions that involve the community members as well as the agency staff. An example of this does help us build capacity with mobile playgrounds, with the Parks Bureau, civic engagement, the Russian-speaking network, the Latino learning communities. We're all partners, along with ROSE and Human Solutions, to develop that kind of partnership of site picking, of who was going to be the advocate, helping with the outreach material. Another partnership that was developed with PDC were the development of the NPIs. And the partnership gave money that was matched by PDC for the four East Portland NPIs, and we really appreciate that. The other thing we did was get a website upgrade for the Office of Neighborhood Involvement at the East Portland office. And that, again, was the committees that were involved worked with EPNO and ONI to get the style and kind of upgrades that we needed to make website viewing and use easier for us. We really think that this is an important factor in building community and building capacity and community development for citizens that don't normally interact with government. We've had phenomenal success, and we've had a much higher level of comfort, we believe, among those people who don't normally regard government as helpful. And for this municipal project is vital to our mission in East Portland. And with that, I'd like to give a nod to Larry Coatton. He will talk about our grants.
All right. Thanks, Arlene. Hello. My name is Larry Coatton. I'm the chair of the EPAP Grants Review Subcommittee. So as you know, every year we've elected to earmark a substantial portion of our funding to activate small yet really important community projects throughout East Portland. We do so through two distinct grant processes. We have our general grants, and we have our civic engagement grants. The primary goal of our general grants is to give East Portland residents and organizations a mechanism to address specific action items that are in the plan. And I'm going to start off talking about 2012 here first. So as you can imagine, our general grants is a very popular program. Examples of projects that were funded in 2012 include youth and parent mentoring for the Arab immigrant community, a new community garden at Eastminster Presbyterian Church, support for the Neighborhood Prosperity Initiative on Division Street, support for the Rosewood Initiative, and several projects in the Park Rose Centennial and David Douglas School Districts. So as you can see on this next slide here, our applications for those 2012 general grants far exceeded the $54,498 that we actually had available. Ultimately, we were able to fund 13 of the 25 requests, and that represented about 49% of the funding requests. And as usual, the city received excellent value on its investment, as this funding leveraged almost $500,000 in donated time, materials, and resources. So that's about a 9-to-1 match. We're really excited about that. In regards to our civic engagement grants now, these are specifically earmarked for culturally and language-specific programs and must address one specific East Portland Action Plan item, which is Community Building 2.3, develop and hold leadership and civic engagement programs for East Portland citizens to build capacity for participating in lobbying, advocacy, board participation, and partnerships. And you see the 2012 grant recipients here on this slide. We had 10 proposals for civic engagement grants last year. We were able to fund 7 of them, and that represented 46% of the request by dollar amount. As I alluded to a moment ago, civic engagement grants are all about next steps in leadership development. So the value of these grants really endures well beyond the grant cycle. I'm very pleased now. I'm going to yield to 2 grant recipients from 2012 to talk about their programs, one from the general grants, one from the civic engagement grants. So we have Claudia Carrillo and Rosa Hernandez with Latino Learning Community and Hungsa Chongtavong with Budumthum Aram.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Yeah.
Good afternoon. My name is Hongsa Chantavong from Laosian community. Through the small grant, Buddha Dhammaram Inc. and Lao American Foundation, in partnership with all Laosian community, organized 3 civic engagement workshops at Buddha Dhammaram Inc. in order to strengthen community connection and leadership development, and when at to build stronger organization and unify leadership in the Laotian community. We have brought together over 100 leaders and their members from Laotian community, Hmong, Mien, Lao, and other ethnic groups from Lao. We will try our best to provide opportunity to put this participants who have gained skill and knowledge from our workshop to engage in different activities and perform their duties within the Laotian community and in mainstream service in East Portland. We are going to work together to effectively represent Laotian community needs and to meet these needs to community involvement and participation in East Portland Action Plan process. Thank you for your support and all whom have made our 2020 workshop a great success. Next, I would like to introduce Claudia Carrillo and Rosa Hernandez with Latino Network Learning with interpreter Jessica Dover.
Thank you.
Hola, buenas tardes, alcalde y comisionados. Mi nombre es Claudia Carrillo.
Rosa Hernandez.
Hello, good afternoon to the mayor and commissioners. We are Claudia Carrillo and Rosa Hernandez.
Nosotros somos miembros de Latino Learning Community.
We're members of the Latino Learning Community.
Para nosotros es importante que aprueben los grants porque si realizamos nuestros talleres de orientación a nuestra comunidad y a que conozcan cómo funcionan los diferentes sistemas de gobierno.
For us, it's important that the grant funds be approved because with them we hold our workshops and we guide our community so that they can become familiar with how the different government systems work.
En nuestro último taller tuvimos una persona que fue impactada por un carro y el conductor no tenía ni licencia ni aseguranza. Y a la persona solo la persona nos platicó que se sentía impotente al ver que las personas que le tenían que brindar ayuda, en este caso la policía, no lo hizo.
In our last workshop, we had a person who had been hit by a car, and the driver didn't have a license or insurance. And this person told us that she felt helpless to see that the people who were supposed to be helping her, in this case the police, didn't do it.
Ella se sintió acosada.